How many are glad to be here tonight? I was in the mall today here in Kingston. Not many people. And I was having lunch with, can you help me? I was having lunch with my wife, and got my assistant here with us, and we just kept looking at each other, just going, this is why we came, to have revival. The people are here, they're hungry, they're expectant. I'm telling you. Some of you are going to have a hard time in here tonight. I just want to warn you. How many first-timers do we have? You've not been in any of the meetings this entire weekend. Would you look around? Will you make them welcome here tonight? Praise God. Let me just get a little census here. How many have traveled further than 4 hours away to be here tonight? Nobody. How many have traveled more than 3 hours to be here tonight? Where are you from, bro?
Utica.
Let's make Utica welcome. Praise God. How many have traveled more than 2 hours away to get here tonight? Praise God. Where are you from? Hold the applause. What?
Pennsylvania.
What part of Pennsylvania? Praise God. Scranton's in the house representing. We preached in Scranton about 2.5 years ago in an assembly of God there. Pastor Dave Twist, a very good friend of mine. And that's actually where my wife and I had revival break out for the first time in our ministry. And the most powerful meetings I've ever been in my life. And you know, so let me finish my story. So today I'm sitting in the mall and I'm looking at my wife and my kids, and I said, we might have to just go ahead and cancel Friday night in Baltimore, Maryland. There's a 1,000-member church. And I'll just be honest with you, because I've lied before. Well, you know, You know, you talk to people, and you talk to them for an hour, and then they go, can I be honest with you? I'm like, were you lying the whole time? You know. But I get on the phone. Well, first I called my pastor. My pastor is Dr. Rodney Howard Brown. How many know that name? Some of you don't even know this, but Dr. Rodney Howard Brown was in Clifton Parks in 87 when the move of God broke out in New York State.
Harvest Church!
Are you from there? Step out into the aisle. Yeah, the Lord told me he's going to send some people from around. I was on the phone with Rodney today. He says, Roy, you need to ride the wave. Just lift your hands right now. Father, bless the pastor right now in Jesus' name. Lord, let it come even stronger. It's always greater in the latter than it was in the former. Father, let your wind of heaven come even now in Jesus' name. Fill. There it is. There it is. Fill. There it is. Wow. Thanks for coming by, Pastor. Oh, yeah. So I'm on the phone with Dr. Rodney Howard Brown today, and I said, Pastor Rodney, they keep coming every night. It's growing. I don't even know what we're going to do. And by the looks of tonight, we're going another night. So, something is brewing in Kingston, New York. Something is, and I'll use a southern term, something is fixing to happen up here in the Northeast. And I just want to warn you tonight, some of you are going to be carried out of here tonight like some people were last night. Amen. Some of you are going to stumble over yourself, and it's because you think you died and gone to heaven. When you get around the presence of the Lord, everything else doesn't really have any matter to it. So relax, kick your feet back tonight. Welcome to Holy Ghost Airlines. There will be turbulence tonight, guaranteed, 100%. Chance of precipitation is going to be about 100%. See, every generation, God raises up people. It's amazing. How you doing back there, Pastor? Guess what? It's coming again. I'm telling you. You better get ready. This is only the beginning. So I'm on the phone with Dr. Rodney, and he says, Roy, I'm telling you, it's not about the crowd. See, I've been with the crowds now. How many saw God TV, the Lakeland Outpouring? Let me see your hands. Okay, amen. You know I change my shirt like 3 times every night. I used to have people, they would click on the television, they could tell what part of the worship service they were by the level of my sweat. It's pretty gross. But anyway. But it's not about the crowds here tonight. That doesn't move me at all. And Pastor Rodney is in Los Angeles, California right now. They've seen 20,000 decisions for the Lord on the streets of L.A. in the last week. So, we've seen in 4 days, 60 decisions right here in Vineyard Church. And we had to make a decision. How long do we want to go? And, you know, all this stuff. And, you know, when you're in revival, you go day by day. You don't plan revivals. Amen. Revivals plan you. Amen. And tonight, don't try to plan anything. I'm telling you. Don't try to plan a thing. Be led by the Spirit, because there's an impartation here tonight that you can take back home with you, and it will set your family on fire. We are already seeing, and we're going to get some testimonies here tonight, but we are already seeing major changes in families and healings in people's bodies that just sit in these meetings, and they go home and they go like, I didn't get anything, and then they go home and they get something. I'll give you a great example. I told this story 2 nights ago. There was a pastor that went to the Brownsville Revival, and how many remember the Brownsville Revival? Amen, I see your hand. And he was there for 3 days, and he came back to his church in Missouri or something like that, and he gets in the pulpit. He's got 300 people, and he says, well, folks, because they all want to know, what'd you get? Did you get an impartation? Give me a Pentecostal break. Anyway. He's like, did you get anything? And he goes like this. He goes to his congregation. He goes, well, he says, I went down to that Brownsville Revival. I didn't get anything. When he went like that, 300 people hit the deck. And the pastor's face was like this. So if you think you have nothing tonight, just ask the Lord, Lord, give me more nothing. And he'll give it to you. Amen. So, just before I got here, I get on the phone to the pastor in Baltimore, Maryland, of the church, really good friend of mine, and we were going to go there and rock the place out. We got a lot of people that are actually registering, right? They've been registering for the last 3 weeks to come to this meeting Friday night in Baltimore, Maryland. So, I get on the phone with him on the way here, and I said, Larry, we might not make it. And I said, they're coming every night here in Kingston. Something's happening. You know, it's a good indication on a Monday night when you pull in the parking lot around 6:30 and it's full. Those are the most hungry people and desperate for the Lord's presence in their life. And so I started talking to him, and all of a sudden the joy of the Lord hit us both. And I'm driving down the highway, and he's driving. This just happened like before the service started. He had to pull his car over. He's laughing uncontrollably. It's called joy. You say, what are you doing, Roy? Well, right now I'm scanning the audience to see how hard I'm going to have to work tonight. But he began to get full of the joy of the Lord, and I could not keep my fluids inside my head. And I walked in here, looked at Pastor Vaughn, I said, it's already started again. He said, right, you want to go none the night? Praise God. So we're going another night tomorrow night, and I just want to encourage you. You need to get on the phones, get on the emails, get on your websites and tell people, call people up that need a healing in their body. Last night was probably one of the most powerful meetings of this whole weekend. I mean, the power got hit the place. We had people that were coming up to the altar without being asked at all. And then I felt the fire of God come in. And he said, tell everybody, get right with me right now that have to get right with me. And people just flooded the altar. We dropped right in the aisles because there's no more room. And that's what it takes. It takes a desperation in somebody that says, you know what? Maybe I don't want to. See, here's the biggest problem that we have in the church. We've seen it all, done it all, bought the t-shirt. Well, that's the same thing. Why do you think Jesus came back in the days of the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the couldn't-sees and the wouldn't-sees? Because they had already done that, bought the t-shirt. And then Jesus comes on the scene and says, oh, let me just change some things around. And he said some really nice things to the church. He said, you brood of vipers. You wicked men. Your hearts are full of dead man's bones. You're whitewashed on the outside. You pray in the synagogues to be seen in the marketplaces, but you are far from the Lord. I mean, he just was, brutal. People look at Jesus as this nice young, oh, he just loves me right where I'm at. And yet he went into a church and flipped somebody's product table over. There was one point in the revival, I thought for sure Jesus was going to enter our marketplace. Because all of a sudden there was anointing oil for sale and everything, and I came very close to pulling out. I was not there to sell.
Right. Amen.
I mean, give me a Pentecostal break. I was not there to sell. We went because we had no motive. My wife and I, 4 years ago, got on the road, full-time ministry, gave up our home. Called everybody in the city and said, come take whatever you want. Man, in 3 seconds, they were there. It's the fastest movers I've ever seen in my life. And they cleaned us out, man. Felt like I was being robbed on purpose, you know. And I will never forget stepping my foot up on that last box, honey. And we looked at each other in the eye. And I said, well, we are officially homeless. And you need to understand something. Because some of the women are going, now, was your wife in agreement with that? Folks, I married the right one. I don't pull my wife around by a chain saying, come follow my ministry because I have such an anointing on my life. Some people say that. There's people that are divorced and they say, well, my wife couldn't handle the anointing on my life. Don't pray for me, please. I don't want that anointing. You know, some people, they go and they minister, and then they come home, and their kids just want a hug, and you're like, fire! You got to become a dad again. a mom again. But I didn't pull my wife around, not by a ball and chain, and she's not a ball and chain. We did this together. We've been with our family the whole time on full-time ministry. They've gone around with us everywhere. We go together. You keep the family together. People say, how do you do it? I put them in a car and we drive. Well, how do you take care of your kids? We homeschool. People don't get this concept. I was interviewed on BBC, and they asked me, I said, well, what kind of environment is that for the kids? I says, what do you mean? They get to sit in seven-hour meetings of people getting healed, set free, and delivered in the presence of the Lord singing every single night, and they get to get that into their little spirits. So by the time they're 15, they hear the voice of the Lord. Well, Roy, let me ask you another question. He's diverting all the questions. Well, what happens if, you know, an atheist approaches your kids or something like that, and all of a sudden, they get in the... I said, I already dealt with that. Well, how could you deal with it? I was in Ireland. I was interviewed on BBC in Ireland, right where Bono was interviewed. It was really cool. And he says, how can you do that to your children? I said, well, I'm not fake. Secondly, I want them to know that mom and dad care about people and love God and serve them with all their heart. And as for me and my house, we serve the Lord. What a concept. So what if an atheist comes by and tries to convince them? I said, I've dealt with that. How'd you deal with it? Now, this guy was an atheist. So I just said this. Well, I told him a story. I said, son, let me ask you a question. One day I was with an atheist, and I said, God bless you to him. And yeah, I don't believe in God. Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to bless you. You sneezed on me. I thought I'd bless you. So what do you believe in? He says, well, I believe when you die, you go into the ground and you become a tree. There's a lot of people in this church right now. The Lord will get them in somehow. I said, you become a tree. I said, son, let's test that theory out. Let's say this guy dies, he becomes a tree. All of a sudden, one day, there's this sweaty lumberjack that's running through the woods with an axe. And I said, sir, he comes over to you, and he goes, then he takes you and he runs you through a sawmill. Or for some people, it's kind of like... And then it spits out wood chips, and then you grab the wood chips and you pound them in the pulp. And then we print the Bible on you. He diverted the question. He goes, well, let me ask you another question, Roy. I'll tell you, the Lord will give you the words to speak to people when they come at you like that. That's why you know it's the Lord that's with you. He goes ahead of you and fights your battles. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And so we have given up things to have revival, and we're committed to the move of God. Just so you know tonight, my wife Melanie and I know that Pastor Vaughn and Pastor Wendy are committed to the move of God. And the whole reason, I want you to know something, and I want to give honor where honor's due. The reason this move of God is even happening right here in Kingston. And you listen up, please, from my heart, pastors and other ministers here. When the pastor of the house yields his heart to the Lord and says, I trust the Jesus in the evangelist, and you allow the evangelist to do what he's called to do, you will probably end up having revival if the guy is not a charlatan. Are you listening? And that is one of the reasons here. And it's all because of relationship, because I've known Pastor Vaughn for 17 years now. And Wendy and all the Gerald children. And it goes by relationship. And you know, you can have revival with your family. It is not absolutely hopeless. And I'll tell you why. My father received the Lord while I was in Scotland. We went to Scotland, Wales, England. I've told this story a couple of times. We got new people here tonight. But the Lord called us right after the Lakeland outpouring. I heard the Lord, actually the second month of the outpouring, I heard the Lord say, son, I'm going to send you to England. You're going to light a fire. You can call me a Holy Ghost pyro. I just go over, I'm like, how you doing? Bye. And we went to England. We were supposed to go for 2 weeks. We ended up staying 2 months. Went to 20 cities all over the UK. Packed out every place. I'm talking 500 to 700 in each venue. And they were waiting 2 hours to get into the building. People were hungry for God. They're still hungry right now. I still get emails today saying, I am so hungry. Please come back. But see, now's the time. It's not my job to do it all. It's not even the pastor's job to do all the work in the church. It's the body of Christ to realize, hey, I'm called too.
Amen.
And I have an anointing that God's given me. But I say this and I challenge you. If that's true, if you really know that you know, you really believe that you're called, then you will stay in these meetings and get saturated in the presence of God, because that's what you're going to need to do the job. And I'm telling you by experience, but I could even go further. The Lord says you must be continually filled with the Spirit. The more you're filled with the flesh, the more you pull away from the things of God, the more world pulls on you. What are you hanging around all your life? That's what you become. Proverbs says, so a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Why do you think, now listen to this, I'm going to tell a couple things tonight, but why do you think a person gets diagnosed with cancer all of a sudden, the minute they're diagnosed in the doctor's office, they begin to decline within 1 week? Why? Because, no, not just fear. Why? Because their heart understands, oh, I have cancer, and it tells the body, have cancer. Are you listening to me? You might have some benign cyst or some, you know, melanoma or whatever, all that stuff. But it's really what your heart thinks that can change your body, because the Bible has all kinds of miracles of people that finally believed and it left them. Don't tell me for 1 minute that 2009, oh, there's no more healing, it's all false hope. Don't even try telling me that. I've seen people healed of cancer, leukemia, Parkinson's. We were in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Last year, had a woman, she's about 69 years old, she came in, her arms like this. Her pastor knew her, I didn't know her. She came in, the presence of God fell in 3 days in Fort Lauderdale with about 85 people in the room. That's why it doesn't matter the numbers. When people are hungry, you'll receive it right there. The woman, she didn't even have the numbers inside her building, inside her house when she had the issue of blood. She had nobody in there. Nobody wanted to touch her anymore. She just got up and says, I'm going to get healed. Let me just pull this off of you. I'm healed. Jesus goes, hey, your faith made you whole. And this woman's in Fort Lauderdale. She comes in. She enters in for 3 days straight. God completely heals her from Parkinson's. She walks in the last night. In the Lakeland revival, several people, I mean thousands, were healed. Truly healed. And guess what? Nobody laid hands on them. We had kids, okay, in the first church. That sounds like a scripture. We had kids in the first church that it started out in that came in with scars on their legs from fire burns, third-degree burns. They disappeared in worship. I was flipping out. I'd never seen anything like that in my life. I've heard of it, but I never saw it. And I went to Africa for 2 months. We had kids coming up. They weren't lying. These are 14-year-old kids crying. Oh my God, my scar's gone. I know what happened to my leg. One night during worship, I smelled the fire of God. Everybody on the stage smelled the fire of God. And nobody was lighting incense. We had 6 ushers go run around and check things out. Why? Why do these things happen? Because people that believe, signs and wonders follow. You say, well, I ain't seen anything. Don't expect anything either. You're supposed to believe. You know, I'm in Orlando, Florida, and the Lord shows me the, and we were just talking about it today. The Lord shows me the movie Hook. How many have seen Hook? Okay. What's the guy's name? Dustin Hoffman. And Robin Williams. If you look at that movie inspired me. In fact, you know what brings it back to remembrance now? Now I know why. I had a prophecy over me. And you shall be a minister of ministers. So I go see this movie. It's my mom and I. And if y'all remember the movie, Peter Pan grows old and forgets who he was. I'm telling you, I feel the anointing just saying that. But forgets who he was. Here it comes. I feel drunk. Here it goes. I'm telling you. Just get ready. Brace yourself. That's the power of suggestion. Shut up. Anyway, so. Let me suggest this. Why don't you leave the room so it doesn't hit you between the eyes? So he forgets who he is. And all of a sudden, who comes back? Tinkerbell. And if you remember in the movie, Wendy, the old lady Wendy, is trying to convince Peter, and she shows him a picture of himself and says, look. And now Peter is afraid of flying. He's like a 38-year-old man who's on the cell phone, never spends time with his kids anymore. But this is Peter Pan. Peter flocking flying Pan. And to make it worse, he's got Dustin Hoffman. I hate Peter Pan. And Wendy is trying to show him, Peter, it's true. Look, you have red hair that you never shampooed. It was you. Oh, Peter, please try to remember. Please. And he's just sitting there like, and he even takes the stance of Peter Pan. Puts his glasses on and he just goes to look and he goes like this. He goes. He even took the stance of what he used to stand like. And when he looked at the picture, he went, oh. It freaked him out a little bit. Because he saw his young self. And now, he thinks grandma's gone nuts, which is Wendy. She's an older lady now. She's trying to get a kiss from him, too. He's like, I'm married. Anyway, so all of a sudden, who comes in the room? Oh, and his children got stolen, by the way. Who came and took them? Hook. He's the bad guy. I think we've established that. And he leaves a note with a dagger in it. And who comes to remind him who he is? Tinkerbell. And he's like, okay, you're a hallucination. Oh, look at my feet. I'm going towards the window. Okay, here we go. And the whole, I almost gave it away. The Tinkerbell drops on an ink pad, and her little feet get full of ink. And in the movie, if you recall, she walks up on Peter and leaves footprints. And looks him in the face and says, you're Peter Pan. You know you are. He's like, I'm not Peter Pan. She says, whatever. And she wraps him up, throws her over his little Tinkerbell's shoulder, and flies him off to Never Never Land. Now listen to me. There's something in this. I'm telling you, I preached this message. Power God hit the place. I can already feel the anointing even now. So We get, now he gets to Never Never Land. There's pirates fighting and all this kind of stuff, all this kind of calamity going on. And what's the main reason he's there? To get his kids back. But Tinkerbell had an ulterior motive. Tinkerbell's ulterior motive was, I want you to remember who you are. So she gets him to Never Never Land, and he starts fighting pirates, and you know, she starts telling him how to be a pirate and stuff. He's, now turn your neck. Now drop your leg. Now growl. Say ar, ar. And he's walking down, you know, do it. And Tinkerbell's telling him the whole time what to do. Now it comes time, he gets before Hook, and the kids are hanging up. Daddy, save me. And Hook comes up and looks at Peter Pan, and he's so defeated. He's afraid of heights. He can't fly. He's forgotten who he is. He's hanging off the pole. And the kids are going, Dad, please, remember. Save us, Dad. And he can't. He can't save his children. Why? He forgot who he was. And so he falls down, and they bring him up to Hook, and he goes, this is not Peter Pan, not this pumpificating codfish I see before my eyes. Oh, yeah, it's Peter Pan, all right. That's a Smee. Look, there's a scar from the Titans, a lily. He goes, oh, yeah, you've got an ode. And he says, kill them all. And Tinkerbell says, wait a minute. You give me 3 days with him. I'll have him back, and you got to have a fight. He goes, okay, you're on. Deal. 3 days. You get him back to remembering if he can fly. And I'll fight him. 3 days go by. Now he's getting all through the run-of-the-mill. All these kids that he's around there, they're all there like, come on, Peter, you can do it. He has to fight this one guy, Rufio, who he's been like the leader of the pack now because Peter Pan left years ago and everything. And they're trying to remember him. And they're about to slingshot him off the thing, you know, and he's about to go fly into this big, huge pond of goo and paint and whatever it is. And he's like, just think happy thoughts. He's like, I got my happy thought. Not being here right now, that's my happy thought. And nothing happens. And he falls into the pond. But then all of a sudden, and I'm bringing this to a close here. All of a sudden, he gets into the tree where he used to go and read and listen to stories that Wendy would speak to him. And he found a teddy bear. And it reminded him of who he was. And Tinkerbell all of a sudden revealed herself to him. Now, she had an ulterior motive. You got to follow me with this. She really loved Peter Pan. She wanted Peter Pan for herself. She wanted him to forget his kids, forget everything. But she revealed herself to him. And said, Peter, what do you remember? And she even goes over and kisses him on the lips. And he's sitting there and he's like this. And then he goes, Moira, my wife, my kids. I'm here for my kids. I can't do this. I'm here for my children. She says, what's your happy thought, Peter? He goes, I remember having my son. I was a dad. I'm a daddy. And he comes back to remembering he was a daddy. And at that time, now he's hovering. All of a sudden, he's flying. He goes, ah. She goes, hold on to your happy thought. And he goes, ah. And he's hovering. He's hovering. And he's sitting there like this. And he's like this. And all of a sudden, now watch me. All of a sudden, he goes. And he flies out of the tree. And I'm a 15-year-old. I'm like, yeah! Na, 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 na. Sorry, E.T. And he flies. And then all of a sudden he goes to sit down. Now he's the flying guy. He's back. Peter's back. He's back. And Rufio comes and gives him one more challenge. He goes, "Hey, old man." And he takes a coconut and he throws it at him. And just as it comes to Peter, he grabs his sword and he cuts it in slow motion. And the coconuts go, and they're spitting right there. And he realized what he did, and he drops his sword, and he gets freaked out again. And once again, he's reminded of who he is. And all of a sudden, he comes down before the boys. He says, Rufio comes up to me, he says, "You can fly, you can fight, and you can," and he goes, "Ah, ah, ah!" And he went, and he defeated Hook. Got his children back, remembered who he was, and he became a better father, and he moved on with what he was called to do. Now he spent more time with his kids, and his life completely changed. My friends, the Holy Spirit is Tinkerbell. He's left his mark on your shirt. That's what the footprints are, to remind you that you walk with the Holy Spirit. I saw God in that movie you wouldn't believe. I walked out of that movie going, "Oh my Lord." And tonight, he's reminding people of who you really are in Christ. So you can fight the battles. You can fly. You can crow. And when you crow, I'm telling you, demons tremble. When you fight, you can cut things in half. Why? Because the word of the Lord is your sword. I'm not even trying to be dramatic. The word of God is your sword. And it slices through everything that man can't even touch. I said this 3 nights ago. The Holy Spirit, when you accept Jesus into your heart, He branded your heart. You're branded. You are branded people of God. You can mess up all the time. You can even forget your children. You can even forget the Holy Spirit. You can even make mistakes. You can even fall into complete sin and totally turn your back on God. But you're branded. You're branded. And you and I both know that every once in a while the Holy Spirit comes around to remind you, "Hey, do you remember who you are? Do you remember what I did in you?" That's why I say, I believe that scripture that says the former will be greater than the latter does not mean that the old guys need to sit down so the young guys can stand up and take over. No, sir. No, ma'am. I believe if the old guys will pick up their mantles again, they will be greater in the latter than they were in the former. And they will join with the latter. And it's a culmination of the latter and the former coming together. And my friends, listen to me closely. When the former and the latter come together, something happens. So I say to the young guys in here tonight, honor your father and mother that your days may be lengthened. And I say to the former generation, honor your children. Honor your children so that they may have long days that they can honor you. Can you say amen? Did that minister to anybody here tonight? I want you to turn in your Bibles real quickly. To Luke 19, before we give you an opportunity to give tonight in the offering, I want to just share a couple words with you. I believe if you're going to give something, you need to hear why you're giving. I believe we need to apply faith to everything we do in this room, tonight, tomorrow night, and if it extends on. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Don't do anything without applying faith to it, because it's just vain. It's the truth. It's vain. Luke 19, then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. Now, the thing about tax collectors is, tax collectors to a Jew is a traitor. Because Jews collect taxes from the Jews to pay the Roman government. So the average tax collector who's a Jew has two Roman soldiers usually assigned to him so he does not get killed by his own people. And Zacchaeus, we all remember Zacchaeus was a wee little man. That's what everybody likes to remember in Sunday school. Got into the tree as fast as he can to see Jesus. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. Now, look at me real quickly. The majority of Christians, we seem to stereotype people that if you're not serving God, you're an outcast. And yet, if we were to look in our own lives, we'd find that there's areas we don't serve God in. And yet we outcast them. I'll get back to that. How many know that people are fickle? How many don't know what fickle is? How many would raise their hand no matter what I said? Fickle means double-minded. Two-faced. Like in Batman. Harvey Dent. He's dead now. Anyway. People are fickle. Because in one place, Jesus is riding on a donkey coming into Jerusalem, and they're crying out, Hosanna, and they're throwing palm leaves down to worship him. And just a few days later, those same people are crying out, crucify. People are fickle. God's not fickle. How many can thank God? Thank you, Lord, you're not fickle. Look at your neighbor and say, we'd be in a lot of trouble if he was. We'd be in a lot of trouble if he was. We would. Because God's not two-faced. Thank you. Appreciate that. So, one thing I've learned in my life is that you can trust God. He can do anything but fail. I mean, there's one thing God can't do. Only one. He can't fail. How many wish you that was one of your... Yeah. And the majority of us would look up at Zacchaeus in the tree, and because he's a tax collector, a lot of people say Zacchaeus was a wee little man, got in the tree as fast as he can. How about this one? How about Zacchaeus climbed in a tree because 5,000 people came and they probably would have killed him. And Zacchaeus is what I would consider to be the underdog because all these so-called, quote-unquote, followers of Jesus hated Zacchaeus. And I believe that when Jesus looked up in the tree and saw Zacchaeus, he had compassion on him. Because maybe he had a thought. Maybe he looked up there and says, you know, one day I'll be in a tree and these same people will hate me. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to break the back of religion. Zacchaeus, come out of that tree. I'm going to honor you in front of all these people. Me? Yeah, come down from that tree. Today, I'm going to be in your household. Make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. I mean, if I was one of the disciples following Jesus or a follower, I'd be like, Lord, I give a partner check every month to your ministry, and you send me the little figurine of St. Thomas over here, which I doubt it looks like him, and you're asking Zacchaeus to come down from the tree. I log onto your website, I give you an email, or I send a camel with a little scroll and some wax on it, and you go after Zacchaeus. What about me? And the Lord says, I'm not interested in you. I want to go after the one everybody hates. So he says, make haste, come down today. I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, who? The people. They all complaining said, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. Now, you cannot buy your way into the kingdom of the Lord. You cannot do it. You cannot buy salvation. It's a free gift given to you. You didn't earn it. Jesus did it. It's a done deal. You just have to receive it. But what it shows me is because Zacchaeus was a traitor to all the Jews, everybody hated him. And Zacchaeus is so moved by the compassion of Jesus, he says, Lord, half of all I have, I give it to the poor. How many can say Zacchaeus didn't have to do that? He was protected by the Roman government. The thing about a tax collector is they collect taxes from the Jews, and the Roman government say to them, okay, you can collect a little extra on top of what we require to save for yourself. That's why they're such traitors. The one thing Jews hate until still to this day is greed. You say, well, I know a lot of greedy Jews. Well, folks, let me tell you something. That's the worst word you can ever use around a Hebrew or a Greek or a Jew. Is greed. There's this one man in the Bible that had a lot of stuff in barns. And Jesus said to him in the parable, he says, what are you going to do with that stuff in the barns? He says, I'm going to build bigger barns. And I'm going to put more stuff in it. It's the only guy that Jesus sent to hell. In the Bible, he says, your life will be required from you today. The only guy in the Bible that he sent to hell. Your life will be required from you today. I'm going to take your life today. Why? Because you're storing up all this stuff, and I need it to do my goodwill and pleasure on the earth. And now a sinner says, half of all I have, I give to the poor. Read on. Let's go to I'll read it again. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him today, today salvation has come to this house, because he is also a son of Abraham. Are you looking at me for a second? And do you understand he just qualified Zacchaeus, who's a complete sinner, who's completely against the way of life, to a Jew? And he says, guess what? You're just like me today. Why? Because Zacchaeus gave half of all he had. It's fair to say that when Zacchaeus cut loose all that money that he had, the Lord brought salvation to his household. That's what the Bible says. Today salvation has come to this house, because he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. One change of the heart in a man can actually set you up for life. Did you know that? Three people. Let me try this church over here. One change in the heart of a man can set you up for life. That so can. Let me try the TBN audience over here. One change in the heart of a man can completely change your entire life. This is real. It's always the heart of a man. Some people say, well, now, Roy, you're speaking on the offering. Yes, I am. Absolutely, because it deals with the heart. That's the one area that Christians have the hardest time with. Because they've attached their source to what their hands can do. Why do you think God gives you blessings in the first place? So you can be a blessing to others. Not keep up for your family. Not just keep up for yourself. but to be a blessing to others that don't have even families. Anybody listening in here tonight? You know, sometimes my wife and I will pull up in a gas station. I'll take my credit card. I'll slide it in there and say, I got your gas. And they go, oh, come on, buddy. What do you want? What are you selling, Amway? I say, no, sir. Just want to bless you. That's it. God loves you. That's all I'm doing. I don't want you to come to my church. I just want to tell you, bless you. Because God's blessed me and I'm supposed to be a blessing to bless others. And you say, well, what's the use of that? See, some pastors would be like, well, you should have got a membership card. Do you really need a membership card? Did the thief on the cross fill out a membership card? I better get this filled out. Sure, I'm glad I filled that out. Jesus didn't turn to him and say, today you'll be in paradise, but before you do, could you fill out this membership card, please? That's not, no. It's not necessary. What's necessary is the heart. What is your heart saying? Do you trust God or do you not? In these revival meetings, this is not about just money. This is not just about filling up a church. This is about telling people in their hearts, listen, it's not about religion tonight. It's not about even stories in the Bible. This is nothing more than a manual and the Word of God for us to live by. And we live in a day and a time right now where there's a whole generation that doesn't even know the power of God. They don't even understand the seed time and harvest principles. They don't even understand that they can be completely blessed if they trust the Lord their God with everything they have in their heart. I live on these principles. It's changed my life. And you say, what happens to the guy that you bought the gas for? He's going to go home. And I've had it happen so many times, whether it's a woman or a male. And they usually cry and break down right there. Because they were believing God, somebody help me. And this long-haired, hippie-looking dude shows up with his Visa debit check card, slides it in, and then gives me that cheesy grin and leaves. And you know that person goes home and says, you'll never believe this. A long-haired, white, hippie dude came up and bought my whole tank of gas. There is a God. I challenge you this week. I challenge you this week. Go buy somebody's gas for no benefit whatsoever. I challenge you this week. I'm telling you, you'll have breakthrough in your finances. Go fill up somebody's tank. Show up, say, excuse me, I'd like to buy your gas for you, and I don't want you to give me anything. I don't want you to just join anything. I just want to do this because God loves you. Let me tell you something. That heart will be impacted, and maybe you were just the igniter, because maybe years down the road or even weeks or months down the road, that female or that male runs into another person, and because of that one act of the Lord, boom, she's opened up, and next thing you know, she gets saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, gets remarried, or gets married and then has kids, and then next thing you know, she's serving the Lord the rest of her life. Why? Because of one act of generosity. And folks, Zacchaeus did one act of generosity in front of Jesus. He says, today of all I have, I give half to the poor. He says, guess what? That's what I've been looking for. Salvation comes to your house today.
Yes. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
And God always overcompensates for what you give into the kingdom. There's one time a rich man came to him and said, what must I do to enter the kingdom of heaven? He says, you know the laws and the commandments. He says, I've already done all these things, which was a lie. And because there is nobody else that has ever been sinless except for Jesus. So it's impossible that the rich man didn't break any of the commandments. But the Lord knew his heart, and he says, well, then here's what I tell you. And I basically could paraphrase like he was saying, hey, smart aleck, here's what you need to do. Sell all you have, give it to the poor, take up your cross and follow me. And the rich man walked away sad. Right about then, Jesus turns to the disciples and he says, it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, folks, Jesus said the way is narrow. What does that mean? What is a narrow way? Maybe being in a meeting tonight and you know the Lord's dealing with you on the issue of finances or on the issue of your heart, and it's going to hurt a little bit because when you pray out, Lord, send your fire, and the fire comes, we all go like this. Ah! Why'd you pray for the fire? You shouldn't have prayed for the fire. You should have said, Lord, send your mist. No, fire comes and it burns out the stuff that's inside of you that needs to come out. And let me tell you the beautiful thing about fire. Fire purifies, man. How do you think gold gets to look so good? They purify it. They get all the impurities out of it. When fire goes over gold, it brings all the sediment and junk up to the top and they scrape it off. And now it's pure gold. That's what you need in your heart tonight is pure fire. Lord, I don't care if it hurts me. I don't want to go the same. Are you satisfied with the way church is today? Six people. Let me try over here. Are you satisfied with the way things are going in the world today?
No.
Then who's going to do something about it? It's going to be us. The body of Christ has got to step up to the, you got to step up to the plate and you got to say, Lord, I trust you with all my finances. See, the Lord told me years ago, son, when everything means nothing to you, I'll give you everything. When everything you have means absolutely nothing to you, in other words, you're not attached to it, then I'll give you everything. I feel the fire of God on that right there. When everything, this, we have preached a gospel light, man. Gospel light. It's like gospel diluted. Well, just give when you feel like it. Jesus loves you. If life throws you lemons, make lemonade. I mean, what happened to the words of Jesus when he said, let the dead bury the dead? Why don't we hear those words anymore? Some of you would be offended at the ministry of Jesus in this place. I'll give you a great example. The man who was blind for 40 years, hadn't seen his wife, kids, nothing. He cries out, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus turns and he says, what do you seek? Now, folks, I'd be like, hello. You are the Lord, correct? Creator of the universe, scooped out oceans, made dry land appear. He's blind there, Lord. You can't see. But see, why did the Lord ask the guy that? Because he wanted to know what the guy's answer would be. He didn't just want to heal the guy. What do you seek? In fact, every person Jesus healed, he always gave him a command to do something. Stretch forth thy arm. Take up thy bed. Walk. Okay. He says, what do you seek? He says, what do you seek? And the man says, I want to see. Now, the way Jesus does things, that would really irk some people because right after he said that, I want to see, the Lord says, right. No, you got to listen to me. Because see, some of us are so religious, we can't even comprehend that that's what happened. That's what happened. Jesus hocked a loogie into mud. We're so religious, we think that like Peter showed up with a goblet. Hello, Lord. I've brought the water. Like they speak perfect colonial English or something, you know. And he's wearing a big long toga. That's how we see the Lord. I mean, we are so religious in our minds. And then Peter's like, I brought the water and I have the sand that was sifted from the Sahara. Master, if you could be ever so kind to just go ahead and mix the two. And we think Jesus was just like, folks, I'm telling you right now, it was like this. He put it in the guy's eye. Then he tells the guy, go wash off. If that was me, I'd be like, I was already heading that way, buddy. I'm already going. Please. Can you get me the master spit out of my eye, please? Yeah. And then he turns and looks at his wife he hasn't seen for 40 years. Ah! Some of us would disagree with the way Jesus functioned. But I'm sorry, it applies the same way with your finances. How many here need a breakthrough in your finances? It's the same way it works. You have to do something different to have something different. If you always do what you've always done, you will always have what you already have. But when you get the revelation that everything you have is to do what? Advance the kingdom. Advance the kingdom. Advance the kingdom. God has one thing on his heart, mind, soul, and spirit. Here it is. Redeem the lost. Redeem the lost. Redeem the lost. What does redeem the lost include? Revival. What's revival? People think it's shouting, screaming, falling over, laughing, crying. That's not even revival. That's something that happens to people because all of a sudden their hearts get dealt with. You know what revival is? Revival is falling in love with Jesus all over again. It's also restoring the joy of your salvation. Some of you look like you haven't laughed in a couple of years. By the looks of some of you in here tonight, you need some joy. How many could use some joy tonight? Yeah. Well, it's your portion. And one of the fruits of the Spirit is joy. And the Bible says the joy of the Lord will be your strength. Some people, I'm not convinced. What's wrong with you, brother? I'm happy. Really? Yes, I'm ecstatic. I am not kidding you. I was in England in the first city that we stopped in. And they brought me into the hall where I was going to have my meeting the next night. We packed the place out. 800 people showed up. It was amazing. But I'm in this hall the night before, and they got this guy preaching. And I'm just being honest with you. It was rough for me. He's like, I'm going to share with you a couple of topics. One of them's joy. I know what I'm talking about when I speak of joy. I have none, but let me teach it. I'm thinking, Lord, can you spin in my eye right about now, please? That's not the joy I want. I want the joy that becomes strength to me. How many can say amen to that?
Amen.
Scientists have now proven when you have a belly laugh and you laugh so hard that your body just tightens up, your body actually goes into a hyper-healing kind of mode and your cells begin to multiply quickly and they attack all the bacteria in your whole body. Is God genius or what when he created us in the image of him? Come on. Come on. Amen. Say this with me. The Lord is good. And his mercy endures forever. Say it again. The Lord is good. And his mercy endures, forever. Now tell him, Lord, you're good.
Lord, you're good.
And your mercy,
endures
forever.
Forever.
Say it again, Lord, you're good.
Lord, you're good.
And your mercy, endures forever.
Endures forever.
Oh. The voice of a stranger, they will not follow. You can hear God's voice tonight. This is a perfect place to hear the Lord's voice speak to you. Tonight, you can make a demand upon the Lord and say, God, tonight, I trust you with everything I have. You can be like Job tonight. Though he slay me, yet I will trust in him. See, Job lost his wife. He lost his children. His house fell in and killed them all. He lost his cattle and his lands. All because of what? Why? Because the Lord one day, thank you, Lord, walks up to the devil and says, hey, have you considered my servant Job? Like he's bragging on Job. And the devil says, the only reason you're blessed is because you got a bunch of hedge of protection around, and you remove that, he'll curse you. Do you know back in 1975, David Wilkerson wrote a book called The Vision? And in there, he talks about the next move of the devil, what he's going to do. And actually, this is what's happening right now as we speak. He said in the first move, the devil had the hedge of protection taken away from Job so that Job would curse him. The next move is, give him everything, God, and they'll curse you. Are there any Americans in here tonight that are listening? Give them everything and they'll curse you. There are some things we have got to cut away from ourselves. Thank God for Job. Job didn't curse God. And what happened? God quadrupled everything. I mean, it just everything. He got a bigger house. He got a better looking wife. Sorry, I'd say that. Don't shoot the messenger. He got everything back and 100-fold. Why? Because he trusted the Lord with everything. No matter what circumstance came against him or came down his path, he trusted the Lord with his life. And tonight, some of you haven't given in a long time. Forget about just in an offering and a revival. You haven't given in your churches. You've backed off your wonder. You wonder why you're being attacked financially. Tithing is so important for the believer. You don't even understand. It's not just paying the church's bills, man. You're trusting God. The Bible says that he rebukes the devourer because you bring the tithe to the storehouse. Maybe what could be happening is you're not being fed by the person, and maybe that's what's happening. But let me tell you something, even if that's not happening, you better put your money somewhere into where it's going to produce for the kingdom. Are you listening?
Yes.
You better put your money somewhere. And that might be, go buy somebody a tank of gas in the next week, because that's the kingdom. Investing in the gospel, that's investing in the gospel. Now, Roy, why are you paying so much attention to the offering? Why are you drawing this thing out for 30 minutes on an offering? My Lord, I just wanted to come in here and get all laffy-daffy like my friend yesterday when she called me up and she was snorting. Because, folks, this is very important to a believer, and this is a subject that has to be dealt with. Has to be dealt with. Why do you think our economy's down? Because Americans have become extremely greedy. And I'm sorry, there's too many scriptures. The Bible says God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. It's amazing. You watch the transformation of a person. That's why it's dangerous to become successful. A lot of people come to me and they go, oh, Roy, could you help me with my ministry? And, you know, we're failing and we know you've gotten to be on TV and all this kind of stuff, you know, and everything. Oh, it must be wonderful. And I go, you think failure stinks? Try success. It sucks. You know why? Because now you have the money, the power, and the accolades, you don't have to have trust God. Are you listening?
Yes.
So my wife and I, we've done everything to absolutely cut that crap away from... I just said it again. I apologize. Forgive me, everybody. Lord, I apologize. Thank you for that word. Just take it out of my vocabulary. In Jesus' name, amen. We cut all that away from us. That's why when we went to England 3 months ago and we spent 2 months and we went to 20 cities, We did 46 meetings in 20 cities, Scotland, Wales, Ireland, England. We saw 1,557 decisions for Christ. And it cost us $75,000 to take 14 people around with a band that we toured with and vans and planes, and we did not stay in the Sheraton five-star hotels because we invest in the kingdom. We came back with nothing. In fact, I was in the negative when I came back. You know why? It makes me get back out on the road and trust God again. So I don't sit back. After the Lakeland Revival, I sold over 30,000 CDs. They went around the world globally. They're still going around the world. Our online store was totally packed out last night. Sending CDs all over. People are being touched by the music. That's wonderful. So what I did is I set up a business, RFM, Roy Fields Music Incorporated, and then we've got Run With Fire Ministries International. And tonight when you give, that money goes into ministries. Nobody draws a salary. We have a full-time staff down in Florida. God has blessed us. After 3.5 years traveling from Maine down to Florida, God has blessed us with a 3,400-square-foot building on 2 acres of land where we have our ministry base now. 9 to 5, there's a full-time secretary answering phone calls, doing our emails, doing our banking, doing my publishing and everything else. And she doesn't draw one dime from ministry because I believe in what I teach. I believe in what God's done for me. All that money that goes in Run With Fire Ministries takes us to Australia. It takes us to South Africa. We're going to Australia in March. We're going to South Africa in May. We might go to Australia in March. Let me just rephrase that. Oh, yeah. Do you know today I was online talking to my travel agent in Montana, and we were about to purchase the tickets, and something told me, don't purchase them yet. I thought, I got 1 month here. I got to get these tickets because they're like $1,500 apiece, which is really good to go to Australia on $1,500. It used to be $3,000. And I got to take 6 people with me, my wife, my kids, my nanny, and my assistant. I have to take them. It's like it's a necessity now because of the crowds. And unfortunately, because the way it is when you're on television, you have to have somebody there to get your back and protect you. I think Jesus was smart when he had the 12 disciples. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I mean, I would love to have Peter. Only problem with that is, Jesus is like, dude, you can't do that. Here, I'm going to put your ear back on. There you go. All right. Oh, you can't do that, Peter. Listen, let me tell you something. You just can't do this, right? I'm going to heal him. Don't stop cutting him. I'm going to put it right back on. What are you doing? But that's what it is, and that's the way it is. And we've learned, we have given much away, not just in our time and in ministry. We've given much money away because we believe in these principles, folks. And I want you to know that you can safely understand this is not a ploy for the offering. This is so that Kingston people here in New York and those that have traveled from abroad, you will be blessed. This is perfect ground to sow in right now. There's never been a better time to sow than right now because you're in the land of famine. And guess what? Every time you read in the Bible, somebody sowed in the land of famine. It almost took care of them for 7 more years. Are you listening? When Elijah went to the widow and she was preparing the meal for her son and they were going to die, the Lord said, I'm going to provide a widow for you to provide for you. And I told everybody 4 days ago, I thought we were supposed to provide for the widows. But guess what? The Lord is actually going to provide widows to provide for you. That's Bible. And what happened? Because she honored the man of God that came into the house and said, listen, your oil jar will not run dry. You will not run out of flour. The Bible says in 1 Kings 17, they ate for many days. And then the rain came. There's rain coming. I'm telling you, as a minister of the gospel, there is rain coming. It's not over. You can apply your faith to that tonight. Can you say amen? Now, you have an envelope on your seat. Tonight, you can give by way of cash, check, credit card. We always say Visa, MasterCard, American Distress, or you'll discover. It's up to you what you want to use. But you can make out your checks to Run With Fire. Run With Fire. I want to encourage you, go to runwithfire.com. How many have been to the website? You've seen some of the pictures that we upload. They're uploaded every single day in real time. So tonight's pictures will be on the web tonight. We just do that. We give accountability so people from all over can look and see that we're doing what we say we do. When you give tonight, we are a 501c3 certified. It means you get a tax receipt for whatever you give tonight. So you can have absolute assurance to know this is good ground. We're under accountability. Amen. Why don't you bow your head right now? And I always do this every single time we ever have an opportunity to give to the Lord. Ask the Lord tonight, what would you have me give? How can I be a part of the harvest? How can I be a part of this end time harvest? How can I support? Because when you support those souls that come into the kingdom, that goes into your account in heaven. When you stand before the Lord, you're going to give a crown to Him that represents your whole life. And part of that crown is the people that you sowed into. Part of that crown is the souls that came to the Lord. Just ask the Lord right now, Lord, how much would you have me give? And if He gives you a number, we want to help you out. You know, I always say if it's a big number, that's the Lord. If it's a small number, that's the devil. If you don't know which number's which, just put them all together. That's the Lord. Can you say amen? All right, put your hand on your offering tonight. Let me pray over you. Father, I thank you for every person. Listen, by faith, put your hand on your offering. If you haven't written your check out, just put your hand on there right now. Father, I thank you for every giver in here tonight. Lord, I thank you for the work you're doing right here in Kingston, New York. Who would have ever thought, Lord, in 2009, February, whatever day it is today, I think it's the 11th, Lord. I was wrong, Lord. Maybe that was prophetic. Thank you. On February 10th, 2009, you're pouring out your spirit right here in this Vineyard Church, God. And Lord, we pray. I mean, God, we want to see you move in New York State so badly. God, I pray that you draw people from the north, south, east, and west to this place right here. I pray that every person that's giving tonight, that you would multiply their gifts, Lord, according to your word. I thank you, Lord, that you are our God and you supply everything we need. We trust you with our lives, God. All God's people said, amen. Now, before you take it up, guys, if you need a minute, just say, wait a minute. Okay, let's hold for a second. Hey, Chad, do we have that video from England?
Yeah.
Are you ready with that clip?
Yeah.
Awesome. I want to show you a clip while they're receiving the offering. We'll just give a couple more minutes here. If you're filling out your checks, you can make it out to Run With Fire. And listen, make sure you fill out your little address there because we got to have that for your tax receipt. And if you'd like to be in our newsletter list, which we do not spam anybody, just fill out your email address. But I want to take you into a meeting real quick, and I want to just demonstrate to you. There was a moment. Why don't you go ahead and receive the offering now? Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you, lady. There was a night when we were in England, God TV called me up and said, listen, what's happening? Because we're hearing about your meetings all over the UK. I said, really? And they said, we'd like to film you for 5 nights at the end of your tour. Are you interested? I said, yes. Yes, I am. I'm interested. So they came. They paid like, I don't know how much they spent, £100,000 with all their camera equipment, lights, staging, and everything. We packed the place out, over 600-something people in 5 days, and we did it in 2 days' notice. It was just an amazing move of God. Just like the Lakeland Revival, we moved from venue to venue to venue. Supernaturally, God would supply all of our needs. The people, the crew, the laborers, all that to lift up chairs and decks and tents and blah, 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 all that stuff. And one of the nights that we got captured, I'm telling a story, and the presence of the Lord just came in the building. I'm singing a simple song, and you'll hear this clip in a second. The reason I'm showing this clip to you, before you play it, guys, can you hit pause or something on it? All right. The reason, and you make sure you pull the sound up on it too for me, okay, guys? The reason I'm pointing this out to you is because I want to show you that how precious the anointing can move in your life. Because the anointing moved in this meeting, and I'm telling you, every single person in here tonight, how many believe you have an anointing from the Lord? Should be everybody. Okay? Now, some are called and sent. Some are anointed and sent. Others buy a microphone and they went. Okay? But I'm talking about the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And when I share this story, I just want you to enter into what happened here. I felt the Lord give me this clip to show you. Last night, there was no room for it. The power of God. How many were here last night, by the way? Powerful night. I mean powerful, pivotal night in this revival. And we've gone ahead and we've named it the Kingston Revival, by the way. And for all of you that might go, well, man should name it. Take a short walk off a long pier. See, some of you are going, isn't it long walk off a... Okay. Let it go, man. This is a revival. It's in Kingston. It's the Kingston Revival. Okay. But I want to show that in the simplicity of my life, while I'm sitting there telling this story, it happened to me while I was in a shower. Now you're going, oh dear.
Please remove all children.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. It's not true. It's not true. It's not true. It's a joke. Some of you need to lighten up just a little bit. But I want to show the presence of God entered and it changed the whole service. I had something all developed and ready to go. And when the presence of God came in, it changed the whole service. And I just want you to watch this right now. Let's go ahead and roll that clip. This is right here in Winchester. Not right here. It's right there in Winchester, England. This was in November. No, no, no. Guys. You got to rewind it. 3450. Remember Chad? Well, that where? No, you got to go back. Rewind. Let me watch you rewind. Keep rewinding, please. This is so embarrassing. Okay. All right. Whoa, guys. Go ahead. All right, we'll run it from here. Turn it up.
That's really what it is, guys. Let's be real, man. We're making it about us and not about him. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. We're here in England for a purpose. Those of you that are watching by Live of God TV, we're not here because we needed a place to preach. After the revival and everything, my wife and I hung out at home for about a month. We enjoyed our family. We bought a little dog. I've never had a dog in like 15 years. We bought a little toy Yorkie. He was a Yorkshire Terrier. Yorkshire? Yeah, that's how they talk, by the way. It was a Yorkshire Terrier. We named him Mikey. I got to enjoy my family. My wife out to dinner a couple nights. When you've been going for 100 and some odd days in revival every night, you better keep your wife close to you. And I had to. I had to take my wife out. I had to just adorn her with some gifts and just bless her. And then we just spent time together. We got our eyes off of ministry. We weren't trying to. We could book anything and all that stuff. You know, one of the things is when you hit an international audience, all of a sudden people think you have no flaws. People think you have nothing wrong with you. They think you're perfect, and guess what? That's the ultimate downfall. You put your trust in man, and you will be let down. How many agree with me tonight? You know that's true. But I'm telling you tonight, you put your trust in the Lord, he never lets you down. He always comes through. He will never, ever go back on his word. His words don't return to him void. His promises are yes and amen. Have we watched so much television that we've forgotten how to get sin to God. I remember at 12 years of age getting on my face before the Lord and beginning to speak in tongues. And some people don't believe in speaking in tongues. But actually the Bible says it's the Holy Spirit praying through you when you speak in other tongues. Why is that? You don't want to hear what you're praying for yourself. Trust me. The Holy Spirit saying, forgive this sorry son. He doesn't know what he's doing, but if you just remain with him, everything's going to be all right. Because if the angels could understand that, they'd be like, yeah, that is a sorry son. What do you want to do with him? You know, the angels don't even understand the relationship that we have with God. They don't even have that relationship with God. Do you realize that? Powerful beings stand 14 foot, 19 foot tall that have been seen. And God messes with us. Who are we? Who are we? It's like that song, I'm a friend of God. Who are we that you're mindful of us, Lord? We have let people down. We've let God down so many times, and yet he still comes through. He still comes through. How many are thankful that he still comes through? Put your hand on your heart. Close your eyes. Lord, thank you for coming through when we did not. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Where would we be without you, Jesus? I'll tell you tonight, I don't even know how people can survive in this world without Jesus. I don't know how they do it. Most people commit suicide because they feel there is nowhere else to go. And folks, the enemy is hitting the church again. He's using the old stuff he used back in the early days. He's convincing the church that there's no God. He's convincing the church that it's all hype when you pray. He's convincing the church, oh, it's lethargicness that you really want just to be comfortable. But quite the contrary, Jesus said, when you take part of me, some of you are going to be martyred. He said, that's easy for you to say, Roy, you're standing behind a microphone. Folks, you don't think I think about things like that? And I'm not a doom and gloom preacher, but I'm sorry to say, I believe that's coming back to the church. You say, no, that's the wrong gospel. No, it's not. Stephen went out and got stoned. Peter was hung upside down on a cross. Roy, don't get too graphic. I just came to talk about revival. Folks, revival's more than just talking about it. You know, I was thinking about this the other day. I was taking a shower, and I was just sitting there, and I love, you know, the I don't know about you, but for me, the shower is the most private place in the world. Nobody else is in there with you. You're getting clean. All your dirt comes off. Your hair gets shampooed if you use it. I had somebody email me one time. They said, will you please wash your hair, Roy? No. So, I wash my hair once a month. And I'm just sitting there taking a shower, and I begin to just dwell on the Lord's presence. How many sing in the shower? Nobody raise your hand. How many wouldn't raise your hand anyways if I asked you? Yeah, you're the one that sings in the shower. And I just begin to sing, Lord, you are more precious than silver. Let's sing. Lord, you are more costly than gold. And Lord, you are more beautiful Oh, lift up your voices.
Come on, just begin to enter into that anointing right now. Lift up your hands and just begin to worship. Come on, stir yourself up. Stir yourself up tonight. Come on, lift your voice. Just lift your voice. That same anointing is right here, right now. I'm telling you. Come on, stir yourselves up tonight. Lift up your voices. Lift up your worship. On I am. On I am. I am. I am. On I am. Stir it up. 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 And I'm I on I am. And I'm I on I am. And I'm I yes. And I am I yes. And I on I am. We worship you, Lord. Oh, Namaye, Namaye, oh, Namaye. Oh, it's like the voices of many waters. It's like the voices of many waters. Come on, body of Christ, stir up your spirit, man. Lift up your voices. Oh, I am. Come on, we're changing the air tonight. We're changing the air tonight. We're changing the air tonight with our worship. Lift up your voices. Ramaye. Just yield to the Spirit tonight. Continue to lift your voices. Oh, there's no sound. There's no sound like the voice of many waters. There's no sound like the sound of heaven. It's the sound of heaven. Rabaye. Come on, lift your hands tonight. Continue to press in. Continue to press in tonight. Just lift up your voices. Tell the Lord, I worship you. I bless your holy name. You are worthy, worthy. What am I answering tonight? There's a river inside of you. He said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Let it flow. Come on, let it come out of your belly tonight. Let it come out of your inner man tonight. It's worship. Let it rise up. Let it rise up out of your belly. Living water. Oh, Ramakashi.
I'm telling you, stir it up tonight. Something is moving tonight. Something is changing tonight. God is stirring up the river of life on the inside of you. Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Don't stop. You're right on the edge, man. Come on, press in. Stir yourself up. Tonight has just turned into a prayer meeting tonight. Stir it up! Stir it up! Namaye, namaye. You, Lord. Namaye, namaye, sunanaye. Let your fire come. Let your wind blow. Let the river rise tonight. Ramaye, Sunanaye, Namaye, Sukunamaye. Ramaye, Sunanaye. Ramaye, Sunanaye. Just yield. Yield to the Spirit of God tonight. Yield to the Spirit of God tonight. Yield to the Spirit of God tonight. Ramaye, Ramaye, Sananaye. Thank you. Ramaye, Hallelujah. 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 Oh. Oh. And Jesus answered a woman and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." And the woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with and all the well is deep. And where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from itself, as well as his sons and live and his livestock?" And Jesus said to her and answered, "And whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth." How long has it been since you have tapped into the Spirit of God that lies on the inside of you? For some, it's been years. For some, it's been months. But nevertheless, when you dig on the inside of you, you will hit the river. When you draw on the inside of you, it will spring up a well. Jesus said, "Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water." Can you say amen?
Amen.
You may be seated for just a moment. You know, I felt really, really moved just now. And as you notice, some have cleared out of the building. When you dig into the things of the Spirit and in the realm of the Spirit, you cause the natural to shut down or go nuts. And it's about time we cause the natural to go nuts, because it's been running our lives for too long. I'm telling you by the Word of God, and I'm telling you as a man of God, you are people of the Spirit. You are not of this world. You live in it. You are people of the Spirit.
When you learn that the source that you have is God, then you will begin to trust the things of the Spirit. I mean, we just worshiped the Lord for about 30 minutes with just our voices. Do you know what kind of a deposit has just been left in your spirit man tonight? The Bible says that the earth is groaning for the revealing of the sons of God. You can press into the things of the Spirit. And you will see the manifest presence of God because He is your source. No, not just finances. No, not just provision. But for your spirit man. He told the woman, "You don't even know what you worship. I know what I worship. And it's the Father. And I do it not with my carnal mouth and in vain, but I do it by the Spirit." Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I feel good. I feel like I just took a Holy Ghost bath. I tell you, that's just like those days back in the barn, man. I'll never forget that. Praise God. Wow. We're just waiting upon the Lord in here. Some people are wanting to, if you're wanting to know what part of the service we're in right now, we're in the main part of the service. I'd like to know how many people in this room tonight you have been healed in the meetings in the last 5 days. Would you raise your hands? You've been healed. I want you to hop out of your seats and come to the left side of the stage here. Pastor Vaughn, if you'll just interview some of these. You've been healed in the meetings in the last 5 days. Just come right to the left side of the stage here. Praise God. Listen, people's lives have been changed in these meetings.
It's dead. It's dead. It needs a battery.
Can we get 2 AA's down here? Come step over here.
Praise God.
You okay?
Praise God. So, Dottie, tell us what's happened. Come a little closer because I'm restricted by this mic.
Okay. Last night I was stood up when they were praying for our hips, knees, backs. I've had problems with my backs, my knees, my hips. And last night, I got to kneel down for the first time in 5 years. Last night, when I went home and I was laying in bed, I was not able to lift my right leg more than 6 inches off the anything, any surface. And I lifted straight up in the air. And he renewed anew my love for him and my love to go out and serve him.
Thanks, buddy. Let's give the Lord a big hand. Thank you. Scott?
Hey, a few years back I had to have brain surgery for a tumor. And I had 90% of my sinus cavity removed, so I have no sense of smell. But Sunday, when Roy was here, my wife and I were sitting in the back, I was sitting back next to another parishioner, Pat, which you know. And I turned to him and I said, "Hey, Pat." I says, "You're wearing Group 33, aren't you?" He says, "Well, yeah, how do you know?" I said, "I smell it."
How long has it been?
Pardon?
How many years?
10 years ago.
10 years, and he's got his sense of smell restored.
Praise God. God.
Thanks, God. Come tell me. Oh, let me get one of you. Tell me your story, young lady.
In 2001, I suffered a work injury, and I had a herniated disc for the 4th and 5th lumbar with a +4 protrusion that just began to get worse and worse through the years. Sciatica, really just always in pain, go to bed in pain, get up even worse, getting in the shower just to open up the lumbars. And last night, I slept like a baby. And this morning, when I got out of bed, I had no pain. I had no pain all night.
Praise God.
Well, let's give the Lord a big praise for that. Come on, guys, you can do better than that. Is there anybody else? Anybody else?
You
point, man.
There you go.
Amber, come on in.
Yes.
For almost 2 years now, I've suffered from migraines pretty severely. And it got to the point where I'd have a headache every single day. It was just a matter of whether it was going to be a migraine later on or not. And definitely one of the things that would cause migraines, without question, would be a throw in my sleep schedule. And this revival this entire weekend has definitely thrown off my sleep schedule. and I have to say that, you know, I was pressing in this whole weekend, and last night I finally had my breakthrough from pressing in, and I was completely lifted of any sort of head pain, pressure, tension, whatsoever. And so,
come on.
One more. Come here, Sarah.
About a year and a month ago, I dislocated my knee and tore all the ligaments on the left inside of it. And yesterday, they were praying for people with leg injuries, and I was up in the sound booth, and I just stretched my hands forth and immediately felt the pain leave that I felt every day for a year and a month.
Give me a kiss. My daughter, I can kiss her. Praise God. Who else? What else? Brian, come on, stand up, Brian. Tell me the story you told me earlier. Come on, Patty, get up, mate. This is me, Irish buddy.
Well, I was driving home from the chiropractor and by myself, and I just started laughing, and I couldn't stop.
He told me the way he just kept laughing and laughing and laughing, couldn't stop all the way. It's never happened to him before in his life. Hallelujah. Praise God. Who else has got a testimony? You know, while I got the mic, Roy, you gave me the mic. Oh, yeah, let me tell you this. Before I tell you this story, one of the brothers that was here last night, he was, this newspaper, can you see it's pretty old? It's December 1998. He said that when he was delivered this newspaper, and that date, December 1998, he was lying there on his porch, and he picked it up, and you can't see from here, but the word revival is written on the front of it. Can you see that? Can you see that, folks, the word revival written there? He picked it up, never opened it. He glued it together. He glued it together on December the 28th, 1998, and put it in his basement. And he said, and God spoke to him and said, he'll get that when he needs it. And last night he went into his basement and got it. He was working in Albany today, and then he had to go to Rosendale. And he said, well, let me just see. At 12:20, I got here to the church. I pulled up in my truck. 30 seconds after he pulled up in his car. He was still in his car when I pulled up in my truck. And he got out of his truck and said, "Pastor, I want to give you this. 10 years ago, this was delivered to him. 10 years ago, he sealed this. And now there it is written on the front, revival. This is the Daily Freeman. If you don't know what the Daily Freeman is, that is the Kingston newspaper. So I want to encourage you in that. I thought that was pretty amazing that 10 years ago this was written. Paddy Peck, stand up, Paddy, please. This is Paddy Peck. Thank you. She came to me last night in tears. In tears. And she came thanking me. I said, "What are you thanking me for?" She said, "I've been praying for revival for Kingston for 35 years. Wow. 35 years. Now, something I want to say that you don't know this, Roy. This city has the distinct, I don't know what word to use, so I'll just be polite. We have the distinct reputation of during the greatest military victory, one of the greatest military wars in the history of all warfare, the Revolutionary War. Kingston has the reputation of being one of the only cities that was burnt to the ground. I don't know if you know this, but the British were sailing up the Hudson, got off for lunch, because they were on their way north, and burnt Kingston to the ground. Got back on the ships. Does everybody know this? Yeah, on October 26th, I think, 1776 or 7, whatever it was. And Kingston used to celebrate that. Does everybody know that? They used to actually reenact the burning down of Kingston. And help me, is that the dumbest thing you've ever heard?
Yes.
That when the Revolutionary War was one of the greatest wars ever known to man, and we celebrate defeat? Can somebody help me? Is that insane or what? And so I just want to encourage each and every one of you. We have to reverse this mentality of this valley, this mentality of defeat, of expecting to lose. That in the midst of victory, Kingston celebrates defeat. I can't stand it. But just from the fun side, do you know the name of the guy that burned it down? Major General Vaughan. That's the truth. He even spelled it right with the A at the end. So I want to encourage you. God really does want us to build this city up again. He really does want us to build this valley up. And I'm only saying this, if any of you haven't all seen Roy's The Journey, that talks about the outpouring in, and he starts, and he knows I'm not picking on him, he says, we start in this tiny little church of just 600 people. I said, there isn't a church of 600 people in our county. And that's where they started point in Florida and went on and on up to 14,000 people. So one of the things we have to do is we have to break our mentality of what God really wants to do. He really does want to make a difference in this area, in this county, in this valley, and he wants to use us. And it's not that hard. It's not going to be that difficult once we realize that we are a bunch of Peter Pans and we've been lied to. We've been lied to. We can fly, I tell you. And it really is something that each and every one of us, we need to do. And I want to just testify tonight, those of you that haven't experienced being drunk in the Holy Spirit, just want to encourage you. You know, I remember that, like Roy, grew up fatherless, and that I started drinking when I was 14 years old and drank every day of my life from when I was 16 till I got saved at 29 years old. And I'm just saying, all those years and the amount of times that I went to bed drunk, I never once woke up happy. Can you hear me? With this stuff we're drinking, I feel great in the morning. Really great in the morning. So if you guys can't relate to that, thank God. But the reality is, there is no hangover in the Holy Spirit. And you want to really, if you have not prayed in tongues tonight, I'd like to pray for you to pray in tongues. There's one thing I think everybody, Paul says, I wish, he says, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all. He said, I wish you all spoke in tongues. And it's something, I don't know what your doctrine is, all I can suggest is try it for 3 months, and if you don't like it, quit. And I really want to encourage you, it's time to just get your tongue loose. You can't get in the flow. How can you get in the flow if your tongue isn't getting involved? You know, this isn't this, you can't praise God on the inside. I'm sorry, the English invented that, but thank God we got rid of that one. You can't do this praising God on the inside. The power of death and life is not in your head. It's in your tongue.
That's it.
So if your tongue isn't active, I found, the Bible's very clear in the book of James says, you know, your tongue is wild, man. Nobody can train it. Therefore, let the Holy Spirit train it. Let the Holy Spirit train it. Give your tongue over to the Holy Spirit. And when you don't know what to do, I've traveled around the world, as most of you know, I've been to over 70 countries. And everyone says, oh, how many languages do you speak? I say, two. English and tongues. So if one doesn't work, the other one does. And that's the answer. And I want to encourage you. The time's coming when you won't know how to pray. I remember a friend of mine was, you know, often countries are divided by bridges. And a friend of mine left one country to go into the next one and they wouldn't let him in. So he went back to the other one and they wouldn't let him in. So he was stuck on the bridge. It begins to rain. He's in between two African countries on a bridge. And guess what he told me? He said, you know what, Vaughan? I learned to pray that night. And we as Americans, we don't know how to pray. Come on, folks, somebody help me. We don't know how to pray. Have you heard Roy saying it? Pray now as if you were hanging off a cliff. And we haven't yet learned how to pray. We haven't yet broken down the whole principle. When we left here, what was it the first night we were here? Where we finished at 12:30, wasn't it?
12:30.
Yeah, we've been here 6 hours. And I realized that, you know, he told this great story, I really loved it, that the guy that left the upper room 5 minutes before the Holy Spirit fell. Remember that Jesus appeared to 500 people. The book of Corinthians clearly says it. He appeared to 500 people after the resurrection, but only 120 could hang around for 10 days. So the other 380 left 5 minutes before the Holy Spirit turned up. Oh. That's why you need to allow yourself this time. Allow yourself. Ask God. Go to bed drunk. Wake up happy. If you're not, you know, just sleep fast.
Come on.
If you haven't got enough time.
That's what? It. I was, oh. Oh, come on. Amen. Preach
so
it.
I can't encourage enough of you. Please, you know, get your tongue loose. Allow yourself the privilege. God has availed these things to us. And just keep praying in the Spirit. Just pray in the Spirit. If in doubt, just speak in tongues. Are we okay? Let's just pray in tongues again for a minute. Ready? Just go. The Bible says you pray in the Spirit, pray with your understanding. Now switch it to English and keep praying.
Lord, thank
Father, I just want to thank you, Lord, for the blessing of God that makes rich
yes.
And has no sorrow to it. Lord, I just thank you and bless you, Lord, for you pouring your Spirit out on all flesh. And you're going to touch Kingston. You're going to touch Ulster County. Just pray in the understanding. Just keep praying. Just the same. Just switch gear into English, Spanish, whatever your language is. Just keep praying, saints. Just start praying for your family. Start praying for your pastor. Start praying for your government. Start praying for everything that is. Start speaking into your finances. Just start communicating with God and remind him who you are and what his promises to you. The Bible says that all the promises of God in Christ Jesus are yes and amen. And we thank you, Lord, that with faith and patience we shall inherit all of the promises. I thank you, Lord, that the blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow to it. I thank you, Lord, that there is a glorious promise. promise and a future, each and every one of us. I thank you, Lord, that you've saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to your purpose and your grace that was given to us in Christ Jesus before this world began. Father, I thank you that there's a call of God on every single person in this room. Every single person. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Guys, I need you to agree in prayer with us. I am supposed to be leaving for India on Sunday. Now, you're all lying there, smiling at me, thinking, oh, well, don't go. You ain't the one who's going. I am. Now, always remember that when people have to make decisions. It's Roy that was supposed to be preaching in Baltimore on Friday night, and in four churches in Virginia after that, and all the churches four, five, six times bigger than this. I'm supposed to be in India. You understand what we got to understand? What does God want to do? We need the mind of the Lord on this. And to be quite honest, this is just a fun side. Bear with this one, Roy. You see, on the way to India, I stop in and see me mum. Now, me mum's 94 this year. So those of you that know me mum, you know, when someone's 94 years old, you never know how many more years they got in them, right? Now, if I cancel going to see me mum, and then me mum goes home and I don't see her, that's going to be weird, isn't it? Do you ever think about that? That's weird. I'm driving in my truck today and I thought of that. Thought, cancel the trip, don't see mum, and mum dies. I'm the one with the smile on my face. I'm doing all right. Don't worry about it. It's an interesting thing. You see, I want to say this. Something, somewhere has got across to us as a people today. Those of you that don't know, let me just tell you, you know I was born in London. And when I came to America in 1978 with my wife, we hitchhiked 18,500 miles around this country. Now, I know in America, most Americans don't know and have never seen and have never visited. So in my opinion, this is the greatest country in the world. But like yours, my opinion ain't worth a spit. So it ain't, until you agree with God, your opinion's worthless. Are we okay, Roy? Are they listening, do you think? Are they waiting for American jokes? And so I want you to see this. You know, I know I've been saying it for such a long time in this church. Our country is in such incredible attack that we're not going to take it casually. One of the things that has been bothering me, just to talk a little bit about me mum, because me mum's a real character, right? Me mum's a Londoner. Guess what she did between 1939 and 1945? Duck bombs. You know, bombs landed all the time. Wake up in the morning, house across the road's gone. All the windows were blown out of my mother's house three times. Every single one, completely knocked out. And she wasn't in the military. She was a civilian. You know, there's a story I love. The back of my backyard, our backyard's about as wide as this room, a 500-pound bomb dropped at the end of our yard and didn't go off. Obviously, I wouldn't be here, would I? Anyway. And so the reality is, I'm saying that to say this, my mother, bless her cotton socks, knows what it's like to be a civilian in a war. Most of us have no idea. Thank God we got military people in here. But you went to war and came back from war. And civilians in this country have never known war. That's why we culturally don't understand. We don't understand war. Because the war is, it's Iwo Jima. You get my point. But it isn't. The war's right here. And there's bombs going off all around us, and we're oblivious to it. So that's why it is so necessary to understand the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, and the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God because they're foolishness to him. So therefore, it's the foolishness of preaching, and this foolish stuff, like speaking in tongues and all this stuff that we're learning this, is what defeats the unseen, and that's how we win in the end. But I want to encourage each and every one of you. You know, I and one of the things, you know, we're a pretty transgenerational church. We've got a lot of young people. You see in our band, right? We've got a lot of young people in this church. And I tell them, listen, guys, your children will live to at least 100 years old if Jesus tarries. Do you understand how the age is increasing all the time? I mean, to be 80 these days is nothing. To be 90, well, yeah, she's getting on a bit. They just found a woman 128 years old. Did you hear about that? And so, you know, I want to encourage you. What do you think our country is going to be like 100 years from now if we do nothing? If Jesus tarries. It's going to be unrecognizable. And so we can't just let it go without understanding we're in a stinking fight. Now, my last point is this. Being as I'm a child of the 60s and, you know, grew up in London, which was a pretty interesting place in the 60s, believe it or not. You know, if there's one thing at least we did have, I'm not saying, you know, we were better or nothing, the kids of the 60s, at least we knew how to fight. You know, we rebelled against everything. You know, if in doubt, rebel against it. And so, you know, and we just went around for a decade causing trouble, right? But everybody today is just giving up. Come on, I need you to think about this. Just giving up. No courage. No guts. Just quit so easy. I don't get it. Hey, just give up. And I don't understand that. That's why Winston Churchill is my favorite Englishman of all time. And I'm sure you all heard his shortest ever speech. Never, never, never quit. And that's what it's all about. That's what I believe that so much of this revival is about. Giving us back to our first love. Giving us back this reality that Jesus, for us all to understand, God, I'm Peter Pan. I can fly, for God's sake. I don't care whether Hook has a great voice or not. He's my stinking enemy, and I want to kick his butt. Because he's trying to steal my wife and kids. And everything that's important to me. And so it's important. He's actually in the Bible. His name's Ben-Hadad. Have you ever read the story of Ben-Hadad? He actually comes to the people of God in Samaria and says, thus saith Ben-Hadad, your gold is mine, your silver is mine, your women are mine, your children are mine. And the king stands up there, the king of Israel, and says, yes, my lord. And I'm telling you, Ben-Hadad is prophesying in our country. He's after your gold. He's after your silver. He's after every relationship you have. He's after your kids. And we're just saying, yes, my Lord. Well, come on, guys. We need to stop saying, yes, my Lord. And saying, in your stinking dream, sunshine. Because we're fighters. And we ain't giving up that easy. And that's what we have to be. We have to become a people and know how to fight. Yeah. And that's one of the things that I mean, you know, I've known Roy ever since. I know he's not old enough to know that long, but apparently I have known him that long. But if there's one thing I've noticed in the Holy Ghost people, if you know the difference between Holy Ghost people and Holy Spirit people, that sounds like heresy, but I hope you get my point. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Is they know how to fight. They know how to stir up the gift that is with them. They know that when there's an attack upon their wife, upon their children. I mean, you know, I was just thinking today, Roy, I walked into my boss in June 1979. I got saved in November the 4th, 1978, in a forest in Pensacola, Florida, while I'm hitchhiking around America. And then 7 months later, I walk into my boss in June 1978 and said, listen, I'm getting married in 3 weeks. I want to quit. I don't want to raise. I want to quit. And that was the last time I had a secular job, and we lived for 22 years without a salary or any income, with a wife and five kids. So I want to encourage you that this gospel is real.
Yes.
It's real. And until we understand, if you can't begin to trust God with your finances, you honestly think you can trust him with anything else? Come on, that's what makes America tick. And until we can get a revelation that I can trust God, no matter what Ben-Hadad says, then we'll be able to do something. But it's times like this when you begin to soak, you begin to draw it in. I mean, at 9:30, to be honest, Roy, I was that close to being out the door, so tired to going to bed 2 o'clock every night, except the one night went to bed at 20 to 4. So, you know, I'm twice as old as you. And so, and I was like, oh, man. And I went, no, I'm going back upstairs. And instead of sliding out the door, you wouldn't have missed me, I dragged myself up the chair. And just then, Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Lord, you are more and nothing I desire compares with you. One more time, let's sing. Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Lord, you are more beautiful than diamonds, and nothing I desire compares with you. And nothing I desire compares with.
Lift your hands one more time and sing it again.
And nothing I desire compares with you.
Thank you, Master, for all you've done tonight. We thank you for the move of the Spirit, Lord. God, my prayer is that tonight it would continue. Lord, I pray that you would put the call out, Father, to every single community surrounding Kingston, every single county, and Lord, the state of New York. Father, I pray you'd even draw them from states surrounding Tennessee, Connecticut, Delaware, Maryland, Maine, Father, but Lord, touch this city. Please help us, Lord, to touch Kingston. Don't let this become a revival, Lord. I pray that just ministers to the world and doesn't touch its own city. I pray that it would shake everything in this whole town and region, God, like the days of Finney, God. We pray for that same revival return, Lord. Let your fire come. Burn out everything that is not of you out of us tonight. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said.
Amen.
You may be seated for one moment. And I just want to share this with you. I had an email come into me last night. And I thought it was worth sharing with you. A lady was in the meeting last night. And she said, I was at the church last night. Amazing, by the way. She said, this morning I was on my way home. It was a 2-hour drive to from Albany, and was listening to the live worship CD in the presence of angels. The inside of my car felt like it reached 90 degrees, and I believe angels were in the car with me. Also, I was at least 30 minutes away from my exit on the thruway. I looked up, and the sign indicated that I was already there. She said, I was transported. How awesome is our God? Now, these you will find in atmospheres like this. Things like that will begin to happen in your life. We've heard tonight from people coming up and saying, last night, I would say, all last night, that I would say, tonight you're going to go home, you'll have the best sleep you ever had. And people are testifying now, I woke up in the morning, all the pain was gone. No more migraine headaches. No more pain. When you spend time in the presence of the Lord and you tarry with Him, I mean, can we just learn from the disciples? Can we just learn from some of their mistakes? When Jesus went up on the hill to pray and He said, could you just tarry for 1 hour here and just pray because there's guards coming after me? And the Bible records He came down and they fell asleep. And I thought that only happened once, but it happened three times. They fell asleep three times. If you will set yourself apart in these meetings, I don't know how long they're going to go. I know this. I know that we're trying to get the mind of God, as Pastor Vaughn said tonight. Pastor Wendy, my wife and I, and the leadership here. You must also get the mind of God. I'm telling you by the Spirit of the Lord. We didn't come here to play any games. We didn't come here just to have another meeting and people go home with a t-shirt and a CD. Forget about all that. We came to touch heaven, and I think it's time. I know it's time. For Kingston to have a move of God. It's time for New York State to have a move of God. I thank God for what happened in Florida, but I think Florida's had enough moves. Lord, send it to New York State. It's time for the North to have a move of God. Can somebody shout amen in this place tonight? Hallelujah. Now just real quickly, I just want to give out some free stuff. I'm not even going to tell you what it is. Go downstairs, you can look for it yourself. How many would like a CD? I'll bless you right there, sweetheart. Just hand that back to her if you would. That's the way you give. See? I'm going to bless you. You want to bless me?
Yeah.
I'm glad I stepped off the platform just now.
I just had some I wrote.
I pray for your safekeeping. Be encouraged. I ask God to calm your nerves, widen your eyes, open your ears, restore your faith, hold your hand, clear your way, set your sail, bless your heart, refresh your body, renew your mind, light your fire, resurrect your dreams, heal what is broken, touch your family, increase your wisdom, inspire you to do great things, open new doors, guide your every step, and surround you with His love and glory. I receive it. Thank you, sweetheart. Bless you. Just give that to somebody. We do have the DVDs and everything. And this is the journey right here. I'll bless you. This is a teaching called Jesus Qualified the Unqualified. I want to just hand that down to somebody. Just give it to anybody. I want everybody in this place just to bow your heads if you would. Guys up in the sound booth, just put it on number 4 black. I don't want anybody looking around tonight. It's been a wonderful time, absolutely wonderful time in the Spirit here tonight. God has done some great things. Guys, just give me a little bit less volume. God's done some great things in this place tonight. There's people's hearts that have been changed. But I want everybody's head to bow, please, in respect for everyone else. Your eyes closed, no looking around, please, tonight. And I want to ask you a question tonight. We ask this question every night. We don't want to give anybody an opportunity to leave without hearing this opportunity. But tonight, if you're in this place, you've come here with a friend, you've come with a loved one, you've come here because you heard of the meeting, you've observed, you've been around to see what's going on, I have to ask you a question, madam or sir, young man, old man, it doesn't matter who you are. You're going to go somewhere when you leave this life. I want to tell you tonight, there's not many preachers that preach on hell. But there is a devil's hell. And there is a heaven. And you can shun a devil's hell today, and you can take advantage of the fact that God sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for your sins. And His blood ran down that cross that covered you and me. He said, "It is finished," which means you don't have to get on that cross with Him. He did it for you. But He does say, pick up your cross and carry it. And tonight you might be in this room, and I have to ask you a very serious question. If you were to die tonight and you were to cross over from this life into eternity, you need to be honest with yourself. Could you honestly say, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you would spend eternity in heaven with Jesus Christ? If you don't know the answer to that question, there's a Bible verse that says this. Jesus said, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." There is hope for you tonight. You can actually have a relationship and not just come to church on Sunday morning. He said He would never leave you nor forsake you. And if that's you tonight and you do not know if you would go to heaven, I want you to lift your hand when nobody look around and say, "Roy, would you pray for me right now?" Just lift your hand. Thank you, young man on the front. God bless you for your honesty. Thank you, sweetheart, in the back. That's the best decision you could have ever made. Anyone else in here tonight? God bless you, sweetheart. Anyone else tonight? You don't know if you'd go to heaven. And you want to know tonight. You want to make it right with the Lord. You want to know Him as your personal Savior, not as a religion. I see your hand, sir, in the back. God bless you, sir. I see your hand. Thank you. Anyone else tonight? I don't want this opportunity to pass by. You may put your hands down. Thank you. I see them. The second call I want to give out to you, if you've already answered the first call, don't answer this. But maybe you've asked Jesus into your heart and you've gone to church for years, but you've backslidden. I know the last few months of the revival, I heard in my spirit every single afternoon, morning, night, and I'd wake up in the middle of the night and the Lord would remind me of Scripture where He even said Himself, He said, "In the last days, many will grow cold from the faith. If I did not shorten the days, even the elect would fall away." Ladies and gentlemen, that's you and me, Christians that go to church on a Sunday morning and on a Wednesday night and even believers' meetings Friday night. But tonight you can call out to Him and He will save you. If you've backslidden and you've messed around and you've grown cold from God, you don't find yourself on fire anymore. You don't find yourself praying or even using the gift on the inside of you. You have to come back to the Lord. There is no other option. You know this to be true. Your heart's even beating now. And I would say to you, if that's you tonight, will you lift your hand and say, "Roy, I got to be honest with you. I've grown cold. Will you pray for me?" Just lift your hands right now. I see hands up all over the building. God bless you, sir, in the back. God bless you, sir. Thank you, dear lady in the front. Thank you, sir, in the front. Thank you, sir. Thank you, madam. Thank you, dear lady in the far back. I see your hand. Anyone else? "I've grown cold, Roy. Will you pray for me, please, tonight? I must know the Lord." I see your hands. Thank you. God bless you in the front here. I have one third and final call for you tonight, and I see your hands, sweetheart, in the front. God bless you. Right here in the middle. Thank you. The third and final call is this. Maybe you've asked Jesus into your heart. You've come down to the altar call. You come to church. Everybody thinks everything's just fine with you. You come in and you smile and you look at people and they say, "How you doing?" And you say, "I'm doing great." But you know that's not true because you're living a double life. When you go home, you close the door, you pull the curtains closed, and you get online and you look at pornography. Nobody else knows this but you and God. Or you go home and you drink because you're still an alcoholic and you haven't broke this. And you find yourself lying. You find yourself not living like a Christian, like you know how the Lord saved you the first time. Maybe you're addicted to drugs in here still and you're still shooting up or you're still smoking pot or you're snorting cocaine or something else like that and you have not kicked that habit yet. You've not let the Lord come in and take that away from you. I'm telling you tonight, the Bible says a house divided against itself will not stand. It will fall. And it will destroy you. And sir or madam, if you're in here and you're messing with this, now listen, I know what's going on in your heart because you're hearing voices and you're having nightmares and the condemnation is so great that you close the door and you shut the lights off and you go into your cave because you can't take the guilt anymore. Jesus Christ came to take that off of your life. In John 3:17, he said, "For God did not send his son to condemn it, but that through him the world might be saved." Jesus said, "Give me your burdens. My yoke is easy. My burdens are light." You can loose that off your life tonight and you can make it right with the Lord simply by making a decision tonight. Devil, I'm not serving you anymore. I'm a child of God. And in tonight's service, you know the Lord's been dealing with you on that. When you begin to lift up your voice and sing and you begin to pray, you felt that urge come across your heart and it started to grow and it started to beat fast. If that's you tonight, and you don't want to lead this double life with every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around, I want you to say, "Roy, would you pray for me?" Just lift your hands right now. Say, "Roy, that's me. I got to take care of this. I don't want to live this anymore. I don't want to do this. I see your hand. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I see your hands. I see your hand. Thank you, dear lady. Thank you, young man." Anyone else tonight? Anyone else tonight? You have an opportunity to make it right with the Lord tonight. You don't have to live this life anymore. You don't have to lie anymore. You can tell people the truth when you walk in and you smile. And that smile can represent the real, true reality of who you have inside your heart. One more chance. I'm going to count to three and the door's going to close tonight. Roy, would you pray with me? One, two, three. Done. I want all those people that answered all three calls, I want you to stand to your feet right now quickly and come down to the altar. I want to pray with you. Quickly come. Quickly come. Ushers, if you'll help me now. I don't want a line. I want them gathered together. Come quickly. Now is the time. Jesus said, "If you can't confess me before men, I will not confess you before my Father." Come in here. Come quickly. Come. Ushers, help me. Just gather them in. Gather them in. Come. This is the time. This is the best decision you've ever made. Come, sir. Come in. Come in. Come in. Come in. I want you to lift your hands to heaven. That's where your help comes from. Close your eyes. You put them on Jesus. Don't you dare put them on me. I cannot save you. I cannot save you, sir. I cannot save you, madam. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. Now, there's one more person out there. Your heart's beating fast and you think, "Thank you, sir. That's what I was looking for." Come on down. Best decision you've ever made, my friend. Best decision. Let them right in. Come right in here. Join us. Just lift your hands to heaven. That's where your help comes from. Now you put your eyes on Jesus tonight. When you say this with me, don't you dare repeat it just to repeat it. You say it from your heart with a heart of passion because you believe in what you speak. So just close your eyes tonight. And say this after me. Dear Lord Jesus. Come on, with a heart of passion. This is real tonight. Dear Lord Jesus. I come to you tonight. A sinner. In desperate need of a Savior. I recognize tonight that Jesus, I can't do this life without you. I can't do this on my own. I must have your help. And so tonight I yield my life afresh and anew. You said in your word that if I would confess with my sins to you, that you would forgive me. And tonight I confess to every demon in hell that Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. Devil, I'm done with you. I don't want any more part of you. I'm a child of God. And Jesus said to me that I could have eternal life. And I want it today in Jesus' name. God, help me. Give me a holy boldness for the things of God. Use me to shake this town, to shake my city, to shake my family, to forgive others as they've been trespasses on me. In Jesus' name. Now lift your hands and just thank Him. Come on, thank Him from your own lips, from your own heart. Lift your voices right now. Come on, right here. Lift your voices right now. Lift your voices. Lift your hands to heaven and thank Him for His mercy. You were going one way and the Lord all of a sudden got a hold of your heart. I'm telling you, today everything's changing. Everything changes tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Now I want everybody to look at me. Look at me. Look at my eyes. This is what Jesus has called us to do. Forgive everyone else their sins. The Bible even says if we didn't forgive their sins, that their sins won't even be forgiven. So we've been called to forgive. Now you must go and forgive. It's not enough just to come up here and say, okay, that's it. You now must apply what you just prayed. It's real life. It's real. And I have hope for you. And here it is. The Holy Spirit now will walk with you. And He will speak to you. And you will hear His voice clearly again tonight. More than any other night in your life. But I want to tell you, as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, by the authority of God and by the power of the Holy Spirit, I tell you tonight, all your sins, all of your mistrials and all the stuff have gone wrong, they are forgiven you now in Jesus' name. Done. Poof. Poof. Isn't that wonderful? I think you should lift up your hand and say, thank you, Lord. Now let me pray over you. Lift your hands one more time. Close your eyes. Father, I pray, Holy Spirit, mark each one of them. Just like you brand their heart. Don't let one of them get off the track, God. Use every single one. You have a call on every single one of their lives. Lord, I pray that you would inspire them tonight with their dreams, with the plans and purpose you have for them. In the name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Now listen. We have some information for you. I want you to meet the pastors of this church. Maybe you've gone here before. I don't want you to get out of the line. If you'll just follow Pastor Vaughn right here that just spoke, turn right around and look right there. Follow him. He's going to take you right back into that room, and then you can come back in the service, and we'll see you in a minute. Okay. God bless you. Can we give the Lord a mighty hand of praise? Come on, you can do better than that. Hallelujah! Woo! Now that, my friends, is called revival. Some of the signs of revival is people that fall in love with Jesus all over again, and the joy of their salvation is restored. There's a harvest to reap here in Kingston. Listen to me. We're going to do this every single night, and we have already. We will not let one night go by. For some of you that have been in these meetings, it seems like a review, but remember the time that you were plucked out of hell. Stand to your feet tonight. Lift your hands to heaven. Let me bless you. Let me pray over you before you go home. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father God, I come before you in the blessed name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We thank you for the move of your Spirit here in Kingston, New York. And God, I pray that tonight it spread like wildfire into everyone's job, community, school. Let it spread into the bars of this town, into the stores and the malls, God, that you would draw your people into your presence, Lord, that you may be lifted up. I pray for every person here tonight that when they leave tonight, that they would leave with a brand new lease on life, knowing that you are our source. I pray that you invade everybody's dreams tonight, that they have the best sleep they have ever slept in their life. When they wake up tomorrow morning, the view will change. You'll hear the birds sing. They'll see the sky is blue, and when the snow melts, the grass will be greener. in Jesus' name. Set us on fire, Lord. And all God's people give a mighty shout. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow night, 6:30 p.m. God bless you.